Hello, I'm Barry Black. Welcome to the Hope Channel and to Higher Ground. Mahalia Jackson, the great gospel singer, used to sing, I've found the answer. I've learned to pray. With faith to guide me, I've found the way. The sun is shining o'er me each day. I've found the answer. I've learned to pray. Come, go with me and learn to survive through prayer. Friends, welcome to Higher Ground. Lord, lift me up, and I shall stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to talk today about surviving through prayer. I believe that prayer is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. Alfred Lord Tennyson said, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." I recall a couple of years ago coming into my office at the Senate and having my executive assistant tell me, "Chaplain Black, the majority leader wants to see you immediately." Well, if you want something that will help you pray without ceasing, have someone say that the majority leader wants to see you immediately. I left my office and walked down the steps, not having any idea what the majority leader wanted from me, but I want you to know I was praying. And when I entered his office, there were about 8 or 9 senators seated around a table, and the majority leader, who at that time was a physician, said to me, "Chaps, I'm glad you could get here so quickly. Would you please give us the biomedical ethical slant on the Schiavo case?" I want you to know, I thought about that Bible verse that said, "Take no thought of what you will say, because when you need it, the Holy Spirit will give it to you." And I praise God, the Holy Spirit gave me a response that was constructive and helpful. But I believe I received the wisdom I needed to give the response I needed because of the power of prayer. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 1, the Bible says Jesus told the people a parable so that they would learn that people should always pray and not lose heart. Prayer is the antidote for despair. When you want to throw up your hands and holler, Jesus said, you should pray and not lose heart. It is so critically important that we learn how to use this weapon of prayer. We miss great blessings when we don't use the weapon of prayer. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, "You have not because you ask not." There are blessings hanging from silken cords which can only be released through the power of prayer. You have not because you ask not. A woman fell asleep one night and dreamed that Jesus came. She dreamed that the heavens opened up and the angels descended and Christ came. It was the second coming. How joyous it was for her, for she was caught up to meet the angels in the air, and soon she found herself being directed by a guardian angel toward a beautiful mansion. When she entered the door, there were all kinds of beautiful gifts. They were magnificently wrapped, and she said, "Wow, I knew in my Father's house were many mansions, but this is amazing. Are these my welcome to heaven gifts?" And the angel said, "Oh no, these are the blessings God wanted to give you while you were on earth, but you failed to ask for them." Don't miss your blessings by failing to ask, by failing to use the weapon of prayer. You have not because you ask not. When we fail to use the weapon of prayer, we also threaten national security. For prayer is the way to bring healing to a nation. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, the Word of God declares, "If my people," not everybody, but just God's people, "called by my name," says that passage, "will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven," says God, "forgive their sins and heal their land." That is an amazing Bible passage. First of all, those who know Christ have an edge. If my people called by my name. Then we learn about the importance of humility, will humble themselves and pray. I know the Bible says, "Let us go boldly before the throne of grace," but we must realize that when we go before the throne of grace, we are going before the omnipotent, the omniscient, the omnipresent sovereign God of the universe. And we should go with humility and seek his face. There is an earnestness about it. There is a passion about it. And turn from their wicked ways. Ouch. Then, says God, will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. National renewal, national security will come from prayer. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Let us not miss our blessings because we fail to pray. Let us not threaten national renewal and national revival and national security because we fail to pray. I want to make some suggestions regarding prayer. The first suggestion is that we should make prayer as natural as breathing. Make prayer as natural as breathing, as inhaling and exhaling. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 puts it this way, "Pray without ceasing." This does not mean that we must always be on our knees. Certainly, if it meant closing your eyes, you couldn't even drive if you prayed without ceasing. But it means making prayer as natural as breathing. It means doing something that an early Christian writer by the name of Brother Lawrence called practicing the presence of God. It means always being aware that God is with you. Now, when you've been married a long time, I've been married for 37 years. When you've been married a long time, you reach a point where people say you actually begin to look like your spouse. Now, that's good news for me because I have a pretty wife. But you not only begin to look like them, but look like the spouse, but you start finishing one another's sentences. You can travel for many miles together in a vehicle and be communing with one another, even though you're not saying anything to one another. That is the kind of awareness of the presence of God that we should have. We should be able to pray as naturally as breathing. I think of Nehemiah. What a wonderful book on leadership. And Nehemiah learned that the conditions back home were wretched, the walls were down, the people were dispirited. And in chapter 1 of the book of Nehemiah, he prays an amazing prayer. He says, God, we need you. He says, you said if we forsook you, that you would scatter us. But you also said that if we would turn to you, if we would call on your name, you would restore us. Nehemiah prayed passionately. He discovered that God wanted him to be the instrument that would be used by deity to restore Jerusalem. One day, the king for whom he worked as a cupbearer, the king noticed that Nehemiah was sad. And the king said to him, why are you sad? You're not sick. Why are you sad? This was Nehemiah's opportunity. And the Bible says, even before he spoke to the king, he shot up a prayer. He shot up that prayer and said, Lord, give me the words to speak. And God gave him the words to speak. We need to learn how to pray as easily as breathing, as inhaling, and as exhaling. Second, we need to use prayer to keep us from despair. Use prayer to keep us from despair. Oh, I love what that text says. People should always pray and not lose heart. Perhaps the most challenging time in the life of our Lord was when he headed toward Golgotha. Leaving that upper room after singing a hymn, as Matthew chapter 26 describes, Jesus prepared for the agony of Calvary through the weapon of prayer. The one who told us we should pray and not lose heart, harness the weapon of prayer. With Peter, James, and John off at a distance, our Lord cried out to the Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but let your will be done. And that is a good caveat to add to any prayer. Let your will, O God, be done. Angels would come and minister to our blessed Lord, but he garnered his strength for Calvary by harnessing the weapon of prayer. Are you feeling pangs of despair? Are you facing health challenges? Are you facing financial challenges? Are you facing marital challenges? Are you facing parenting challenges? Don't throw up your hands. When you can't do anything else, my friend, you can always pray. Don't lose heart. You can always harness the weapon of prayer. Jesus said, you should always pray and not lose heart. There's a third thing that you need to do if you're going to harness the power of prayer, and that is don't expect God to always say yes to your prayers. There are people who have a name it and claim it, take it home and frame it philosophy of Christianity. They have a philosophy that anything you pray for, it is possible. And yet Gethsemane teaches us that that is not the case. Our Lord prayed, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but let your will be done. And God said, impossible. When I was a young man in the 11th grade, I attended a Christian college, and I saw a young lady on campus who caused my heart to palpitate in a way I had never experienced before. And at that time, I belonged to the Name It and Claim It School of Prayer. I believed anything you saw, you could ask God for it, and He would give it to you. And so I went back to my dormitory room. I didn't even talk to the young lady. And I got on my knees. My mother had always said, be sure to say some good things to God before you ask Him for anything. So I said, Lord, you made the mountains and the trees. You are an awesome God. I saw a young lady on campus today. I cut to the chase. And I want you to let her feel for me what I feel for her. And if you will do that, I will never ask you for anything else for as long as I live. Well, God said no. And I've got to be honest with you, I'm glad He did. About 20 years later, I ran into that young lady, and I was thankful that God knows our future better than we know our future. I was happily married, and she was happily married, and let's just put it very politely, I was glad that God said no. Don't always expect God to say yes to your prayers. Sometimes His no's are the greatest blessing you will ever receive. There is a fourth thing that you must do if you are going to survive through prayer, and that is persevere in prayer. Persevere in prayer. Don't give up. I love the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. He prayed that God would send fire, and God sent fire immediately. Later, however, Elijah learned that he would have to persevere in prayer. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 44, he was praying that God would end the famine, that God would send the rain. He sent a servant to look to see if there were any clouds in the sky. And the servant returned and said, Master, I don't see anything. And Elijah said, go back again. You see, my friends, you can't give up simply because God does not respond immediately. The same God who sent fire immediately on Mount Carmel did not respond immediately to the prayer of His prophet that rain would come. Fire came right away, but not the rain. Elijah prayed a second time, a third time, a fourth time. Matthew chapter 7 says, seek and you will find, ask and you will receive, but the Greek construction is keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. He kept on knocking. And when He sent His servant the seventh time, the servant returned and said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Just a small cloud about the size of a man's hand. Faith was great in this mighty man of God, Elijah. He got up from his prayer, his persevering prayer, and he said, we better get going, for there is going to be an abundance of rain. What do you want from God that you have been praying for and you have not yet received? Survive through prayer. Persevere through prayer. My mother prayed for my alcoholic father for over 25 years. I had stopped praying for him. I had become so disillusioned by his alcoholism, but my mother continued to pray. I was a student just leaving the seminary when I came home and I preached a sermon, and my father responded to the invitation to make Jesus his Lord, and he put down the bottle and did not pick it up again. I was ashamed that God would use an unworthy instrument for his glory. He would use a young ministerial student who had stopped praying for his father. But thank God, my mother persevered in prayer. People should always pray, our blessed Lord says here in Luke 18:1, and not lose heart. Galatians 6:9 puts it this way, let us not become weary in well-doing. And that means prayer as well. For in due season, we will reap if we faint not. There is a fifth practice that you need to embrace if you are going to survive through prayer, and that is to pray with faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith pleases God. Those who come to God, Hebrews 11 says, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The truth of the matter is, my friends, that many of us are practical atheists. We say we believe in a transcendent deity, but we live as if there is no God. We face challenges and difficulties, and we act as if there is no God. But we must pray with faith, for faith is a power that releases blessings. Praying with faith pleases God. In the movie Empire Strikes Back, in the Star Wars trilogy, or I don't know how many there are now, Luke Skywalker is being taught by his mentor, Yoda, a diminutive and strange creature, to use the power of the Force. Yoda is attempting to get Skywalker to levitate a spaceship that is stuck in the mud. And Skywalker grimaces and tries as much as he can to get that spaceship to rise, but nothing happens. And finally, Yoda folds his arms, and with an almost tranquil expression on his countenance, Yoda looks at that spaceship, closes his eyes, and after a few seconds, there is a tremor. There is a movement with that spaceship. It keeps moving and moving, and the movement gets greater, and finally that spaceship rises. It is levitated. Skywalker cries out, I don't believe it. And Yoda responds, and that is why you fail. There is a power to faith. Jesus said, if you have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain and that mountain will move. Oh, Mahalia Jackson was right. You can find the answer if you will learn to pray. With faith to guide you, you can find the way. The sun will shine o'er you each day, but you will find the answer if you will learn to pray. If you will implement these five practices, making prayer as natural as breathing, you will survive through prayer. Using prayer to keep you from despair, you will survive through prayer. Not expecting God to always say yes, but learning that his way is always the best way, you will survive through prayer. Persevering, not letting go, not becoming discouraged, not becoming weary in well-doing, but hanging on in there. You will survive through prayer. And then praying with such a faith that Your faith will not shrink though pressed by many a foe. Your faith will not give in to despair because you know that you can always pray and not lose heart. On Calvary, Jesus showed us how to survive through prayer. The first words from his lips were the words of a prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was praying, I believe, the Psalms, even when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The last words from his lips were, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Oh, my friends, his hands were nailed to a cross. His feet were nailed to a cross. He seemed powerless, but he had the power of prayer. The one who told us, don't lose heart, survive through prayer, demonstrated the power of prayer. He dropped his head in the hollow of his shoulder and died. But I'm so glad that prayer brought him forth from the tomb. Early Sunday morning, while the dew was still on the roses, he came forth from the tomb crying, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell, death, and the grave. Our Savior survived through prayer, and even now, he sits as an intercessor, making intercession for us. His prayers keep me going, and as long as he prays for me, I can survive through prayer.